You can go to valleysymphony.net, but you got a 1700s till present day
is what's coming up for our concert on Sunday at the Pavilion at 3 p.m.
Yay. All right. Dress warmly. Do you know the forecast? I'm sorry. I'm thinking outside.
It's okay. Also going to be beautiful for the
inside,
record.
The Pavilion is always lovely. So, and it's got great acoustics. So.
All right. Yeah. So I was thinking of my favorites, Palestrina, Arkadelt, but that's probably before the 1700s, right? What kind of artists are we talking about here?
So we are talking about Mozart. We are talking about Massenet. We're talking about Bach, Copland, and Schubert, and Harbinson, who's still alive. So, yeah, we cover a lot of ground. It really is about presenting masterworks from the Baroque period, which is Bach, the classical era with Mozart, Romanticism with Schubert and Massenet, and the 20th century with Copland and 21st with Harbinson. So we are spreading over four centuries of tour de force masterworks is what we're presenting.
Sounds lovely. You're invited. It's Sunday at...
Sunday at 3.
Sunday at 3 o'clock. And tell me about... You brought a guest.
I did. I brought our concert master, Deborah Tenaple.
Good morning.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
What is the job description of a concert master?
Oh, my. Well, it varies, but generally I sit at the front right next to the conductor and assist him with different things that happen within our playing time when we're rehearsing, and prior to that with working on bowings and making sure our string players are together in the way that they're using their bows on their instruments so that it doesn't look chaotic on stage. Mm-hmm. Giving him advice on possible tempo issues that we're having, and just helping our sections play better together, giving them ideas how to be more articulated and playing together. The bow on a string instrument is the hardest thing to master, and it sometimes has a mind of its own. So we have to be very especially careful about that so that we produce the type of style that is being presented. And we're doing a lot of different styles in this concert. And so we have a lot on our plate, actually, as musicians and all of the players, not just string players.
Okay, I might pronounce this wrong, but mm-hmm. Did I hear you say taze?
No, it's
meditation from Thais. It's a French piece of music, and there's a little bit of a story behind it. I don't know that I'll go all into that, but it deals with a monk who wants to bring a young lady. This is, of course, back in the day when it's all romanticism, and you know that's the big plot and the drama that goes on with that, and wants her to come out of the lifestyle that she's in and help her with that, with this meditation, this beautiful piece of music, and ends up, you know, he's a monk, so he's supposed to be not interested, and ends up falling in love with her, and she then comes over to the good side, and then of course he can't do anything about it because he's a monk. So, you know, but it's the piece of music is so gorgeous. And when I was young, I would say late junior high, early high school, my instructor played this piece of music for me in her home. Her husband played the piano with her. They're both super gifted. And after hearing that song, I just couldn't believe what I was hearing and the way she presented it. And I think that just set me on my path to become the teacher that I am and the player that I am, to emulate that kind of expression and beauty out of that music, and to bring that to my young students and older students that I teach on a regular basis. So that's...
How do you spell that? T-A-I-Z?
T-H-A-I-S,
Thais. Over the I.
Yes, okay. Thais.
Wow.
Right.
I love that story. It always gives me goosebumps. It really speaks to the power of music, but it speaks to the power of music instructors and how important mm-hmm. teachers are in general. And Debbie is a teacher, and she has a full load of students, mm-hmm. and they range in age from?
I've started as young as 2.5, if you can believe that. We had to have a mom on one side and me on the other to hold her still, but she ended up becoming a concert violinist herself and conductor. She's well out of college now, and all the way up into their late 70s. It's just really interesting to work with that widespread of age group. You know, the little ones, they take a long time to get even just these basic little counting things taken care of. And then with your older set of folks, it's the hands sometimes just don't want to work and coordinate, because with our youth, things come quicker. So you have a whole different set of issues that happen with that. So I'm glad that I started young. When I did, I was 9, and in the fourth grade in California, where I was, we had strings in schools in fourth grade to encourage us to play string instruments before we saw the shiny instruments. Like my friend here, Stacey, plays one of those shiny instruments, or at least partly shiny, the clarinet. And I wanted to play the flute, which is fantastic. And it was in this cute little purse-like box, and I thought, oh, that's what I want
to
do.
I wanted to carry that too.
I wanted to carry that to school because it was so cute. And my mom said, no, we have a violin in the closet and that's what you're going to play. Well, the story behind that violin is incredible, because when I wasn't even born or even thought of or a twinkle in my mom and dad's eye, about 15 years prior to that, my mom was teaching piano lessons in Pacific Grove, Monterey, California area. And this mom came and she said, my daughter doesn't want to play the violin anymore, but she wants to take piano. So I have a violin. Would you be interested in trading that for piano lessons? And my mom's like, I've always wanted to own my own violin. When I was young, I started it, but we couldn't afford it. So I went with piano. And so now I can get this violin, and maybe my daughter, my sister, who at the time was only probably 3 years old, will play it someday. Well, she did. She played it a little bit, this violin, and it just wasn't for her. It didn't work. So that violin went in the closet for a while, quite a while, actually, until when I finally came along, and we moved up Central Valley, still stayed in the closet till fourth grade. Well, it turns out this little girl that took piano lessons from my mom, her name was Debbie. I just found that out last night. I said, you're kidding me. And she goes, and they're from Colorado.
Oh, weird.
They moved back to Colorado. I said,
full circle.
Well, what is with that? That's just like, you know, this one girl didn't play it. Her name's same as mine. And they moved to Colorado. And that's what happened with me years later. So the same violin I started on, which was entirely too big for me when I started on it, was like big old stretch that for my arm, is the same violin I'm playing on now. And that mom who traded that for piano lessons really had no idea what she was trading, because it's just a fantastic instrument. And it just, it's so expressive. I'm very blessed to be able to play it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Stacey. Oh, you were going to interject.
Oh no, I'm anxiously awaiting your next question.
Johnny, what do you play?
I'm an official music appreciator,
nice.
So I can't play anything. But I feel like I have a good ear for music. I got goosebumps from your story
I know,
as well.
Me too.
Just from the story, and I can tell it. So I want to say thanks for spreading the gift of music as much as you can, because that's important.
Yeah.
I wish I would have discovered good music as a tot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I was in my 30s, I heard Ave Verum Corpus by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
It's beautiful.
Pink Floyd, Bruce Springsteen Bob Dylan are over here.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most beautiful piece of music I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on vacation last summer, and I put in my earbuds, and I was walking through a field, and I typed in Ave Verum Corpus by Wolfgang, and it was glorious.
Yeah.
This piece you would recognize that Debbie's going to play, and it's one of those pieces where there's not a whole lot for the wind instrument, so I think I have like 5 notes in the whole thing.
You get to listen.
So I get to listen. And you would recognize it. I mean, people will recognize it. It is absolutely, it's a stunning, stunning, shining piece of music, and Debbie, last night I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so
thank
exciting.
You. I'm excited to play it. It's one of those pieces that I've loved for so long, and I've taught it so many times to upcoming students over the years, and I wish my instructor could be here to hear it. She still plays professionally back in California, and you know, after I got into college and so on, I ended up sitting right alongside my own instructor and playing along with her. I mean, what more could you ask for? And so this piece is special because, you know, it propelled me to do what I do now, and just want to emulate really good musicianship and make it fun and exciting and build into people, no matter what age they are, with my instrument and music. but also the pleasure of being able to share that with my parents and my sister, the one who started on this violin, the only other person who played this violin, truly, are coming today. They're coming this evening. They're coming to be able to see this concert and hear it and spend some time with us. And my parents are in their mid-80s, and so this is really special. They have actually never seen me lead as concertmaster because we've, you know, been here in Colorado about 13 years now, and it just hasn't timed out right when I had a concert when they were in town or that kind of thing. So it's really special for them.
And you've been concertmaster since?
Oh, my. For about
2006
years. Yeah.
Yeah. So been a long time.
It's been a little while.
Yeah, this is really a special concert, especially for Debbie. Yeah. So,
awesome. You know, I want to go. I'm ready.
I hope you do. That'll be great to see you.
You got to bring your daughter. You know, bring your kids to this.
Well, and especially, you know, to expose children to that, you know, and then just talk to Debbie afterward and sign up for lessons.
Oh, man. There may be a little bit of a waiting list. I'm pretty full right now, but I do really enjoy teaching and working with the Valley Youth Orchestra and all of those kids. And many of those young people who are upcoming are in our orchestra now, cutting their teeth with a full symphony rather just to sing string orchestra. So it's giving kids a chance to join a community orchestra and with some of our professional, semi-professional players as well. And then that can help them decide if they want to go further with that as they go into college and that kind of thing. So it's a neat opportunity that we have here. And there's a lot of communities that do not have an orchestra or that they folded because they couldn't sustain. So we're really
lucky.
Yeah.
And on this stage we have kids as young as, who's the youngest now in your
I would
BYO?
Say probably 14
15? To probably 92. So the age range there, I mean, it's just, it's, and it's neat because you look in the across the, all the musicians, and you see just such an age range, and it's just such a mix, and it just, I don't know, it's very metaphorical for being one.
I do notice the diversity. Wonderful. So this is Sunday. The next one following, is that the Christmas
That's the Christmas by Candlelight. It's our 10th Christmas by Candlelight, where the chorus and the orchestra are both on the stage at the same time. So we have over 100 musicians on the stage at the same time, and it's beautiful.
Full stage.
It's a full stage. And it's and again, like I wasn't kidding about the acoustics at the pavilion. It was, as my understanding is, that it was designed after Betcher Hall in Denver.
It's a fantastic venue for us.
It's got great acoustics. So, and again, we'll be playing also the very familiar Toccata and Fugue by Bach that people will recognize. And what we're doing figuratively is turning the entire orchestra into a pipe organ. And so it's, people will recognize that from Fantasia. So again, we really want people to understand that this isn't just for quote unquote symphony goers. It's really for everybody who loves music. People who go out to those summer music series, these are your neighbors and coworkers and friends and family who are in our orchestra who present this for the community. And so we really would love the support, and we would love to be able to show off what we spend so much, thousands of man hours preparing each concert. So.
By the way, is there going to be? There's not going to be a pipe organ there.
No, we turn the. So we no. There's a harp though for Debbie's piece. There's a harp comes in and plays. But this is the turning the orchestra into the pipe organ.
It was originally written for organ, pipe organ, and so the all the feet are going, and all the different layers of a pipe organ, all the hand movement with that has been orchestrated for us to play to produce what it would sound like if there was a pipe organ on stage.
Right.
And so that's what's happening with that.
Yeah, and again, you will totally recognize that piece, and it's all, those were those Toccata and Fugues, or what Bach did was to really highlight the virtuosity of somebody who could actually play that as a pipe organ.
On
organ, because it's crazy. Yeah.
Bach is phenomenal. He wrote wrote concertos and symphonies that were heard once. I mean, the guy was phenomenal.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm out of time.
Okay.
Yep.
But where can people get tickets?
They can get them at Montrose Music. They can get them at the Pavilion here in Montrose. They can also go to clubs in Delta and get them, or online at valleysymphony.net.
Valleysymphony.net. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time.
Break a leg. Thank you. Sunday. News 580 KUBC. You are invited. ValleySymphony.net.